prepare for that, I'd like to look at a passage of Scripture that I have talked with all four of these folks this past week, and I thought I would share it with you as well. As we look forward to another baptism service, especially out at the river this afternoon, we realize that we're following in obedience to God's Word and His will for us. As I've shared with the four candidates that are speaking, baptism, water baptism, has taken lots of different directions and interpretations in the Christian world. And I was raised in a very liturgical upbringing, and so as a result of that, I was baptized as an infant, not very many days old. And there's a whole segment of the church belief that it's infants who are baptized, and then you later make a confession of faith at some point in your later teenage years. And so that's one stream. Another stream that the Christian thinking has taken is that water baptism is essential for salvation, and that unless you are baptized in water, you're not truly saved. That's called baptismal regeneration. Well, here at the Westlock Gospel Chapel, we do not follow the avenue of infant baptism nor of baptismal regeneration. We believe and understand from Scripture that water baptism is a step of obedience upon having received Christ as your Savior. It's a declaration of your intention in order that you are following the Lord, turning from sin, wanting to honor Him. It's a declaration of the path that you're setting for your life in faith and obedience to Christ. Before Jesus returned to heaven, He gave His disciples the great commission to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. And so here this morning, and now we're out at the river this afternoon, we're going to do that very thing. But I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to one incident in the book of Acts that I believe gives us some wonderful insight into this journey of baptism, and that is found in Acts chapter 8. This, of course, is following the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, Peter stood up and preached, and it says 3,000 souls were saved, and they were baptized in that day. I can't imagine the scrambling they had to do to get that all organized, probably down maybe at the river, and or perhaps in one of the pools there in Jerusalem. It might have happened, but it would have been quite an exciting time. But then following through the stories in the book of Acts, time and again we see that people were baptized. And here in Acts chapter 8 is a wonderful story of that. So I'm picking it up in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture where he read was, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. For in his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, for his life was taken from him?" So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to, Lord, help us see, have insights into this scripture, both of, Lord, what happened at this occasion in Acts 8, and also, Lord, what's happening in our hearts and happening here today. Lord Jesus, that you would be glorified. Amen. I'd just like to make a few comments about this passage of Scripture. Philip, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and of course almost being transported by the Holy Spirit, as we see here, finds himself on this road heading down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And there he meets this man, this Ethiopian official, who had been to Jerusalem to worship. Which is a very interesting comment and thought, that this man from Africa has made the journey, the long journey, all the way to Jerusalem. And no doubt, worshiping in Jerusalem meant that he was worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the Old Testament, an understanding of Judaistic understanding of God, and there he was worshiping in the temple. I'd love to know some of the background, and maybe we could search further someday to see that, but how did this man, this official from Ethiopia, have an understanding of the God of the Jews? And yet, in his heart, he was coming to worship. Maybe he was also being sent under authority to go and worship as well from Candace the queen to represent her before the Lord. But whatever the situation is, he had been to Jerusalem to worship the God who he really didn't fully understand. But as he was following his heart. The very interesting thing is, as he's returning now back to Ethiopia, he is sitting in his chariot and he's reading Isaiah the prophet. This is amazing that he had a copy of a portion or perhaps all of the book of Isaiah. Only wealthy people would have a copy of the scroll of Isaiah. The fact that he had this copy, maybe he had just purchased it being in Jerusalem. And like all of us, on our way home with a new gadget or a new book or something we want to get into, we can't wait to start. And while his charioteer is running the chariot, he's already unveiling this scroll to read it and to begin to understand what it is. And the interesting thing is he didn't start at the beginning. He was already in chapter 53. Maybe that's where the scroll just opened up to. But there he was reading Isaiah 53 and he was confused. Who could this be speaking of? And all of a sudden along comes this stranger he's never met before jogging along beside his chariot. What a way to get an answer to your desire to understand Scripture. God sent a personal evangelist and interpreter of Scripture. And so he stops, Philip gets up in, and they begin to look at this passage. And the Ethiopians, or Philip's question is, do you understand what you are reading? Isn't that a question all of us should be asking ourselves and each other when we open God's Word? Do you understand what you're reading? How many of you can say you always understand what you read from God's Word? I can't. That's why we often need the fellowship and the assistance of others who know the Word of God and of the presence and work of the Holy Spirit. But there they were in the chariot, and Philip begins to teach him. We see here in verse 37 that Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture preaching Jesus to him. So keep your spot there in Acts 8, and let's turn back to that scripture, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is probably one of the strongest prophetic and evangelistic books of the whole Old Testament, as Isaiah had so many clear glimpses and expectations of this coming Messiah. But Isaiah 53 is a confusing chapter because in it, Isaiah comes to understand that this coming deliverer, this coming Messiah, was going to be one who would suffer for the sake of the people of Israel. And that didn't quite fit their understanding of this returning deliverer. But here in Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? Or unto whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then the next two verses are the ones that this Ethiopian official was looking at specifically. So the passage in Acts tells us that from this passage on, Philip began to explain Jesus to him. So as we look at this passage of Scripture in Isaiah, I believe we can safely assume that Philip starts from the premise of why the coming Messiah would need to suffer. Why he would need to suffer. And here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, is enough evidence of the prophetic anticipation of Jesus, the suffering Messiah, to understand that Philip would have been able to explain to this Ethiopian official sin, the devastation of sin, the need for forgiveness, the need for a Savior, the need for a Messiah to come and pay the penalty for our sin. Even just a couple of these verses alone. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Just that verse alone would be enough premise to preach the message of the cross, of Christ the suffering Messiah for us. And from there, it says in Acts chapter 8, he took this Ethiopian official through the scriptures and preached Jesus to him. Jesus, the suffering Messiah. Jesus, crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. Jesus, risen from the dead. And then he would have been able to explain to this official, Jesus sending the Holy Spirit, poured out in the city of Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit coming and bringing the understanding of this Messiah for all people, and of the people's response and their readiness to be baptized as an indication of their turning to the Lord in faith. Because we see here that as they're traveling along down the road, all of a sudden this official says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" It's like what he was learning, he was acting on quickly. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that I see in this passage is the reality that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just anchored and rooted in the past. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit is in our hearts and active right now in the present, in this moment. And this Ethiopian official was ready to act on it right away. Look, here's water. I've just heard you tell me about being baptized. I've heard you tell me about Jesus the Messiah and of people's response to him. Look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And what did Philip say to him? If you believe with all your heart, you may. In the present tense. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Now, we can ask ourselves this question. Did this Ethiopian official understand everything about Jesus at this point yet? Could he have understood? No. He wasn't fully comprehending at all, but he was comprehending enough to know that he was a needy man in need of forgiveness. Christ offers that forgiveness, and he was believing and receiving that. Well, Philip says to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I find this interesting because he is basically, having started in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, he's already moved to the understanding that Jesus is the God, is God, the Son of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Somehow in that interaction from Jerusalem to Gaza, as Philip is introducing him to Jesus in the scripture, he's already coming, putting the pieces together. The suffering Messiah, the Son of God. I believe he is the Son of God. And what did they do? They stopped, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they went down into the water, and he baptized him there. So here this morning, these four people who have expressed a desire to be baptized are really coming with the reality of saying, in the present, God is at work in my life. We're going to hear some testimonies this morning, I believe, of past events, past experiences, past steps of faith. But more importantly, even what God is doing today in their hearts and lives. And as we hear that testimony, we are here as witnesses of that, celebrating and rejoicing in what God is doing in their lives. And then this afternoon, right after the service, we're going to head out to the river and we're going to say, look, here is water. What hinders you from being baptized? And we're going to go down into the water, just like that Ethiopian official did, and they are going to be baptized there. Now, we know from Scripture that oftentimes, upon being baptized, there was just a real opportunity to pray for God's blessing, and the Holy Spirit would come and touch people. We're expecting no less than that today as well, that God's going to work and minister to these in these folks' lives. So I'd like to pray and ask for God's blessing on their in these testimonies now, and trust that God will again, reaffirm our faith and trust in Him. So, Father God, thank You that this story in Acts chapter 8 is so rich with, Lord God, experience of learning, of response, of testimony, of the work of Your Holy Spirit in the life of this Ethiopian official. And Father God, we believe in the same way You're working in the hearts and lives of these four candidates today, and indeed in each of our lives. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to keep drawing us deeper into the Word of God, deeper into our understanding of Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the coming King, Jesus, the Son of God. Lord, help us to, Lord God, be encouraged that, Lord God, on this journey, as from Jerusalem to Gaza, Lord God, we have more to learn as we go, more to understand, more to obey and follow with You. But Lord, in this moment, we're thankful that we can celebrate what You are saying and doing. So bless these testimonies now. Lead us and direct us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here at the Gospel Chapel, what we've done over the years is we have the individuals come and just share a word of testimony, perhaps some scripture, something in their heart that's real of what God's work in their life. And then we have someone who knows them well come and just share a blessing over them. So we're going to do that same thing this morning and allow the Lord to do that. So Caleb and Aubrey Natto have asked to be baptized, and so I'm going to get them to come. And Caleb, do you want to take the lead and come and share something on your heart? And then is it Mom and Dad are both coming? Yeah, okay, come and share a blessing. So come ahead here, Caleb. We're glad to have Caleb here and his family, and just celebrate what God's doing in your life. So share with us.
I don't remember when I first seriously thought about committing my life to Jesus. I think I've just continued to grow my knowledge and love for God. I know I can never be good enough on my own right with God. I need Jesus to be my salvation and the Holy Spirit to continue to guide me every day. Today I want to publicly declare my commitment to follow Jesus. A verse I find meaningful is John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you may have many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm very thankful to have my Christian family surround me and be here to support me and pray for me as I continue to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Do you want to come up now? Yeah. We'll invite Mom and Dad to come. And Aubrey, do you want to do your testimony next, or do you want to do them separate with blessing?
We're going to do the
together. Okay, together. All right, come ahead, Aubrey. Praise the Lord.
I grew up in a Christian home, so I've always known the love of God. I want to now publicly declare my commitment to Jesus, and I know I need the Holy Spirit to continue to work in my life. A verse I find really important is Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I always want to do the work God has for me.
Amen. Okay, now I'm going to...
to write it down too, so I didn't blubber. Okay.
Yeah, come on.
Caleb and Aubrey, we're so very proud of you, and I feel so blessed by God for giving us first a son who has always been such a joy. He was curious and technical, always willing to work, and I know God has amazing plans to use your gifts. And then God gave us a lovely daughter. Who's compassionate and faithful in all she does. She has such a love for others. And I know you'll be well used by God as well to show His love to those around you. Yeah, it's been just a joy to watch you both grow in your faith and now take this step to publicly declare your choice to live a godly life. I know you both have a solid foundation in Jesus, and it'll continue to grow as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you through the many life choices ahead. My prayer for you both is that you love God. The love of God will be the passion in your heart. The peace and joy of God will be the strength when times are hard, and that the presence of God will be your counselor through every decision in life. And that the word of God will be the seed that you sow through your daily living in this world. And a verse for you is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so I just pray as you go out into this world that, yeah, you continue to lean on God and yeah, discern his will and for your life. Amen. Yeah.
So Caleb and Aubrey, I'm so proud of you guys for the step of obedience you've taken in your relationship with Jesus. It brings Mom and I great joy to see you guys pursuing a closer relationship with him. My verse is Philippians 1:9. This is my prayer for you guys, and it is this. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Caleb and Aubrey have been part of our Awana Club, and I know they work very diligently. I've watched Caleb work at memorizing verses, and he's just so focused, just trying to get the verse down. And trust, pray that, and believe that God has put those scriptures in your heart. We've had lots of new families and new people come to the chapel here in this last year, and a couple of couples who've come faithfully that we're really getting to know and appreciate so well are the Van Brabens and the Hinters. And God is at work in the men, especially of both of these families. It's exciting. So Bryce came to me and asked if he could be baptized. And so it's a joy, Bryce, to have you come. Why don't you come too, Joanna? And I know some of you realize, boy, I hardly know these people. Well, let this be just another opportunity to hear what God is doing in their lives, and please get to know them and encourage them. And they're expecting their first baby here in a few, well, not many weeks left now, but it's coming, and we're excited for them. But God is at work in Bryce's heart and Joanna's as well. So Bryce, come and share your testimony with us.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to start off by telling you guys a bit about my story. In June of 2020, I lost my brother at the age of 9 at a farming with a farming accident. During that few couple years, I was filled with anger and pain and a lack of forgiveness. In September of 2022, I lost my dad to an aggressive form of lymphoma, and that, again, made me very angry, filled with pain and anger and, again, a lack of forgiveness. I wasn't able to move on for months and years. Later in that same year, I met my wife, Joanna, and soon my life began to change. I felt my anger and pain disappearing, and I was able to gain the happiness that I had before I lost my family. I always thought God was always there, just helping me get along my path and putting the right person in my life to achieve it. When I learned Joanna and I were expecting a baby, I was filled with happiness, and I knew at that moment I had to strengthen my relationship with Christ. I had to strengthen my faith for not just me, but for my wife and for my family. The last couple months, I've been praying and praying, and I finally knew in my heart and soul that I had to put my trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for our sins so we all can be saved. And that is why I chose to be baptized here today, to show my decision to everyone that I've put my trust in the Lord. I found some scriptures that I felt really resonated with me, and I'll share them with you now. So Psalms 119, verse 28 to 32, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. I also picked Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The last one I picked was Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. God bless.
I always find it amazing how God works, because me and Bryce came from extremely different backgrounds. I grew up in a much more religious setting, and he didn't go to church a lot. But I believe God brought us together for a reason. And the verses I picked as encouragement for him is Psalms 119, 105 through 106. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. And Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. I find it interesting how God chooses us, but we still have to choose him. And sometimes it takes other people to lead us in that way. And I thank you all. We really enjoy coming to the church here. It's been a blessing for us. Thank you.
What we're going to do is, when we get out to the river this afternoon and family is all there, we're going to gather around them at the river and pray for them specifically before we do the baptizing and celebrate that. So bless you guys. It's a joy. I'm really getting to appreciate and get to know Bryce and Joanna even more. And we had them in our home here last Sunday. Along with one of the other new couples here in church, or couples with a brand new baby, who they're sitting right beside now. And wow, between the Van Braidmans and the Empies, did we ever have a lot of baby talk. Wow. But it's wonderful having these young couples and these new babies coming. All right, Ross and Deborah. It's a real privilege to get to know Ross and Deborah as well. And watching God at work in their lives, and they've got some friends come and join with them here this afternoon. And I believe that both of you have a wonderful testimony for the Lord. But Ross, come ahead and share what God has been doing in your life. And again, if you don't know Ross and Deborah, you're missing out. Get to know this couple.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. I prepared a few notes to keep myself on track. This is a great day for me, and to have all my friends that showed up to take in this event. I've taken a lot of trails that lead off the main trail. I'm the youngest of nine children, and I didn't get any of the height. And so I guess I felt I had to make up for that. I have a lot of excuses, but we don't have time for all those. But some of the trails that I took in life had warning signs. They were bold, and they were right there. And so I felt I needed to go anyway, that a lot of things didn't apply to me. I was a young cowboy, and I thought that I could take on the world. And so I didn't pay attention to those warning signs. So if I get held under the water longer than most people, you'll know why. There are so many trails that look so good, and it's really easy to be deceived for all of us. But today I choose the straight road, the road that leads to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 55, there's verses 8 and 9 that have always resonated with me. In verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Thank goodness. I've thought so much about that lately. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's always resonated with me. It's been important. I've been blessed in my life to work with animals, both domestic animals and, for the last 30-some years, wild animals. And even they have, in their own way, tried to help me to see. As I was preparing this, I thought of one particular time when I was working cattle in the mountains of British Columbia. I used to stay for the summer up in the mountains with the cattle, I had a particular duty of looking after yearlings, and yearlings often will put their tail straight out and run in the opposite direction that you want them to go. So I was riding a faithful gelding that I had come to trust, and he started to buck a little bit and jump around, and I thought that he was disobeying a direct command from me and that he needed to be set straight. So I proceeded to try to set him straight, at which time he bucked me off. And when I landed on the ground, wisdom came to me then, and I realized that he had stepped on a wasp nest and was being stung between his back legs by wasps. And I never got stung one time. But I didn't see that until I got bucked off and landed on the ground. And such has been my life. I've spent quite a bit of time having to learn by crashing into things first. So, another scripture I just wanted to share that also has resonated with me in the many years that I've spent in the bush. In Psalms 46, verse 10, it says simply, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." So for me, that's worked. And what you, my wife's been good enough to help me to understand that you could see things without getting bucked off if you want to. So today I know that the only way that leads to eternal life is to give my life to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice made for me on the cross. This is the hard part. And his, the shedding of his innocent blood for me. I told you I'd get choked up. Thank you.
A little bit about us. How many have watched The Chosen? There's a line from the series, "I was one way and now I am another." That is Ross and myself. We've had an interesting journey since 2008 when we met on the internet. after I answered an ad, and the title of the ad was Bushman, yeah. When we got married, we lived in a log cabin on a dead-end road. We had no running water, no power, and a very fancy outhouse. A few years later, we left Alberta, and we went ranching and chasing cows in British Columbia. A few more years later, we came back to Alberta, and another couple years after this, we sold everything and went on the road and lived in our fifth wheel for 6 years. If you want to test your marriage, try 225 square feet together all the time. We're so grateful that God kept his eye on us through all the side roads of our lives. Ross has such a heart for truth. His desire is to know truth and to live his life according to it. I'm also very thankful, we both are, for our friends that are here today. There's a couple of them that were there when we met for the very first time. And they were there to pack all my boxes out of a U-Haul when I moved to Alberta. And they were there when we got married. And they're here today and made the trip, and we're very grateful. And we have more recent friends who have prayed for us and supported us through sickness and all other challenges. And so I'm really thankful for them. Ross and I have a heart of gratitude for this gospel chapel. You have no idea how much it means to us, your friendship. Luke 15:4-6, it reads, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' Ross, today God has you on his shoulders."
Hallelujah. I have had the privilege of spending some time with Ross the last few weeks, and Ross might be small in stature, but he's huge in heart, and just a real blessing, and believe that God is working in his life. Before I ask the worship team to come back and lead us in one last song here, after we're finished our service this morning, if you're welcome to come to the river with us. We're going out to Bethel Bible Camp. So if you're not totally familiar with that, you just go up to the lights here and then head straight west out of town, up over the Fifth Meridian by Hazel Bluff Hall and Church, and then another mile further west, Range Road 11, and then you turn and go north. How many miles? 3 miles? Something like that to Range, and then you'll find Bethel Bible Camp. And if you've never been to Bethel Bible Camp, you will see it on the west side of the road. You can pull into the camp there in the parking lot, and then we will make our way down through the bottom of the camp down to the river for the baptism there. There's a group of people who've been there at the camp for the weekend from Mount Carmel who will be leaving. There's girls' camp coming in a little later this afternoon, so we're just squeezing in time-wise in between the people coming and going at the camp. So we'll go right down to the river, and then we'll pray for each one of these folks together, and then we'll do the baptism in the river. So please come if you can, and celebrate together with us. All right, the one last thing I wanted to mention is, I don't know everybody here this morning. We're glad to have you here, especially visitors. Where are you at with the Lord? Have you received Christ and understood of his love, his mercy, and his grace for you? You may be like that Ethiopian official traveling through the desert. You may even have a copy of the Bible in your hands and yet still not fully understand that it reveals to you the love of Jesus for you, and that God, the very Son of God, has come to this earth has taken the place of us as a human being and has borne in himself on the cross the penalty for our sin. And what he invites us and asks us to do is to believe it and receive it and to receive and appropriate the forgiveness, the cleansing, the healing, and the new path that he wants to set for our lives, just like we've heard from these testimonies this morning. So if I could implore you and even plead with you on behalf of Christ, surrender to him. Allow him to be your Savior and your Lord. So you can have a testimony like these folks here and many, many others in this church of our lives following Jesus. Does it mean everything is easy? Does it mean life is easy? No, we still have struggles and challenges and sorrows, but God is in control and we trust him and follow him. So I'd like to ask the worship team to come as I pray together here. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace at work in our lives, for your Spirit drawing us. I'm thankful, Lord, for Caleb and Aubrey, Lord, for Bryce and for Ross, and Lord God, your work in their lives. But Father, each of us has a story, so we invite you, Lord God, to keep working deeper in our lives. And now, Lord, as we conclude this service in this last worship song and then make our way out to the camp, we ask for your direction and blessing in this afternoon's baptism at the river. In Jesus' name, amen.
If it's all right, this song that we're singing is actually a prayer as well. And I was thinking as Ross was, as Ross's wife was speaking about how Ross wants to know the truth. And the verse came to me about in John that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus. And each of these four have chosen to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And each of us that have chosen to accept that gift of salvation have made a choice. But the choice to know Jesus is not just a one-time thing. In order to build that relationship with Jesus, it takes a daily choosing. And so if you don't know Jesus, please choose that you want to know him. But every day, choose that you want to know Jesus.
Let's stand together, please.
I want to know you. I want to
every hindrance. So much for being here. We will dismiss, and anyone who would like to head out to the river would be welcome to join for the baptism. Thank you, and have a good week.